Well, can I thought this book was going to be called Golf for Dummies, but it isn't. That's at least something. I must say, it is a fantastic pleasure for me to stand here and have been at this meeting and see so many friends have come to join in celebrating something. I mean, I haven't actually retired, and it isn't my birthday, so it's good that you've come. And, you know, we've had a couple of days of very interesting talks, and we're going to have one more day tomorrow, which will be very good. Now, throughout my career, I've been really very blessed with good people to work with, people I've learned from, and we've been through, people who've stood up and spoken this evening are all of them people I've learned from, worked with, and continue to work with. Bruce McAdam started off my supervisor, and as I said yesterday, I learned an enormous amount from Bruce, certainly about how to make contour maps of radio sources. But I did learn yesterday that he withheld the most important information from me, was how to calculate the fluxes much more quickly than I had done. And this shows that I wasn't smart enough. Marshall talked about the rat's nest. I can still remember Radio Astronomers Trans Sierra Nevada Expedition, a sightseeing tour. You mentioned the first one where we had the cross Sierra Nevada discussion and the bear. That camera continued to work for several years afterwards. I think we did throw it away in the end, but it had these wonderful bear tooth marks in it. Just the other day, I discovered the report from the Rat's Nest expedition that was written by Hugh Ross, who some of us will remember as being an extravagant Canadian who walked at 7 miles an hour and had to fend off mosquitoes, which were as big as your finger, and eventually ended up in religion, which was not a great surprise for those people who knew it. But I don't think you didn't talk about the second Rat's Nest expedition which we had, where I think the first night we had to make sure that the bears didn't get our food. And my recollection is that there were 15 PhDs in that party, and it took us 3 hours to figure out a way of stringing up a rope to keep all our packs out of the way of bears. In all of this, of course, we were being led by Marshall, who was our leader, not only in the astronomy, but in our expeditions. And it's been a great privilege to work with Marshall and to continue to be friends over what is now a very long time. Nearly 40 years, I guess. And that's one of the great things about this community, that we do continue our friendships for a very long time. And then we move to, oh, by the way, I should come back to this point about disappearing after a week to go back and get married. It was actually 3 months. But it was, yes, I can imagine how it was a bit of a surprise to people. Well, it wasn't really a surprise to the two of us, although we hadn't quite decided before we got to California. Got to Holland, and ran into Harry. I hadn't met Harry before, and I remember when Harry rang me up to offer me the job, and I said, well, yeah, I'll give you a reply in a month. And he said, no, it's got to be next week. And that's, so I had to make up my mind, we had to make up our minds within a week, and that's, so we did it and turned up in Holland. And one of the things that was really important, I think, for some of the things that I did was the freedom that I had to operate in the Netherlands. And it was both Harry and Wim Brouwer, who was in charge in Driglo, the day-to-day activities of the whole observatory. Harry was in Leiden. The two of them allowed me to push on in the VLBI world, And it was, I think that was the key to the sort of things that I was able to achieve together with all the people who, many people who are sitting here in this room. It's important, I think, to give people freedom to operate. And I was reminded of that this afternoon when Harry was talking at coffee time about when he visited NRAO and walked into Dave Heesham's office, and Dave, unfortunately, has just very recently died. Dave was the director of NRAO at the time, and said to Harry, well, Harry asked him, what am I going to do here? And Dave said, well, you do whatever you like. It's going to be good. And that's the feeling I had when I got to Holland. And with all the very smart people who were there, and Harry's mentioned many of them, there's a lot that we achieved. I'm not sure that when I got to the point where I could actually tell people what they should be doing, whether I allowed them to have that much freedom. But what I did feel was important to set out a vision of what needed to be done and to be consistent about that. And I know in later years I've been certainly accused is the wrong word, but at least people have said to me that I've stuck too long to particular timescales for the SKA and various other things. But I actually feel it's important to continue to remain consistent in what you set out to do. So the Netherlands has been a fantastic place. 31 years we were there, and the second part of it was in charge of Jive, and Howard has talked a bit about that. It is, I think, of the projects that I've been involved in, and we've been talking about these last couple of days, Jive is something that I really am very proud of. That 19 years has been going, and I think that sort of there's a fairly good chance it's going to keep going. So that's at least something. And the SKA is something, as John has said, that is still a work in progress. And indeed, the best present that certainly I could get, and many of us in the room could get, would be that to be funded. In Jive, we put together a very good team, and the people who were there and are still there, Hal and Mike, Leonard, Arpad, all the others in the staff, worked really to serve the EVN. And Simon mentioned about the EVN and what has been achieved in the EVN. I think it's something we can all be proud of, because we've turned a collection of national telescopes into something that is a unified whole, and it is generating good science. That really is very, very satisfying for everybody involved. Hal mentioned this tape recorder here, and it still occupies a place of great esteem in my office. Occasionally people see it and wonder what the hell it is. Well, nowadays when we talk about petabytes of data being shifted around, this is not quite the way to do it, but it is certainly a reminder of what was state of the art at the time. And I was incredibly impressed by those tape recorders that tape speeds going past the heads was 10 meters a second. And that, when you think about it, is an enormous speed. And these things eventually worked. It took quite a while to get them to work. Of course, Alan Whitney, who's in the room too, had an enormous amount to do with that, and with the correlator that we built in Jive, and the one, the same thing was being built in Haystack. So that was another great collaboration. One of the things that, talking about freedom that one had back then at that time, is something that Roy was going to talk about in his talk, but didn't. And that is, at the time when we were thinking about buying the tape recorders for Giant, we needed 16 of them. They were expensive. And we were pretty sure we were going to buy the English tape recorders from Penny and Giles. And it was just a time when the English went out of the European monetary system, and the economy seemed to collapse considerably, and the exchange rate against the EQ, as it was then, went down considerably. So I was given permission, or at least I sought it from the board, to actually buy a lot of pounds, because that would just allow us to get 16 tape recorders, which we wouldn't have got otherwise if the monetary crisis hadn't happened. And can you imagine that, a director of a relatively small institute being allowed to do that now? It'd be absolutely impossible. Because the responsibility for doing these sorts of things has been shifted so far up the chain these days. Phil talked about our early days and my black beard. I remember that got me into trouble occasionally at the borders, when they certainly looked at me and examined my passport very carefully, because even then they were concerned about the people looking like terrorists. So it wasn't too long after that I got rid of the beard. And I certainly haven't forgotten the Alcalá business. I don't think it was as late as 4 o'clock in the morning. I think it was about 2, but I remember being woken up. I looked down and I could see this group down there. I could see some people who will remain nameless because they have very high positions now.
Could I point out 3 are on this table?
Yes, I know. So, anyway, thank you for this jacket that you can see I'm wearing, and I will. I need something for playing that game. Thank you also to Sergei for the bottle of wine. Certainly going to enjoy that. And the hope to visit New Zealand before too long. We occasionally get across to Australia to visit family and so on, so it's not very far from Sydney across to Auckland. And then Peter Bartel, on behalf of the 3 students or ex-students who are here, I'm overwhelmed by this box of CDs. I know I've got a lot of spare time now, but it'll still take me a long time. A long time to get through all this. I really do appreciate that. Now there's I think all 3 of you who are here are very different characters, very different ways of approaching science. But you've all been very successful. And, as a supervisor, all you can do is point people in the right direction and hope that they pick up the thread and run with it and do a hell of a lot more than you would have done with it. And I think, looking at all 3 of you, what you've achieved over the years, that's been absolutely the case.
And so did you. Thank you.
Well, that may well be so, yes. And Jan Blommaert, I really am going to enjoy this book. And history is something that I'm getting more interested in, medieval history. And as some of you know, I'm particularly interested in Byzantine history for very obscure reasons. And the interaction of the Byzantine Empire, which ran between 330 and 1453, centered on Constantinople, had an awful lot to do with the East, and in particular what happened after 632 or whatever it was that certain gentlemen started doing things. And I'll be very interested to see what I can learn from this book. Mm-hmm. I also I don't know whether I'm the right person to talk about money to somebody who works at IBM. I've been very interested to hear about the dome project that has got going in Brigalow, and I'm sure you've had an enormous amount to do with that. And I think I should congratulate you along with the people in Astron for getting that together, and look forward to seeing what results come from that. And then John Warmersley. I remember that meeting in Chicago, and I wasn't sure that I'd actually made any impression on anybody at that meeting, so I'm glad you remember that. We've been interacting with each other for, I guess, what is it now, four years? Three years, maybe. And, you played an absolutely major role in the cohesion that the project now shows, and in particular getting the funding agencies and the governments to the point where it looks like it's a feasible project. And I think that the momentum is there now. It'll be almost impossible to stop it. And there's a lot of obviously very difficult decisions to be made, and you talked about that this afternoon in your speech and your talk. But I've got every confidence that, guided by you and with the collective wisdom in the board, that the right decisions will be made and the project will move ahead into the next phase. We have a lot of work to be done to find the money to make it work, but I think once we get going into this next stage, get to the point where we can say we know what we're going to build and how much it's going to cost, we'll get there, and we'll have somebody doing some science. Hopefully, even I'll be doing some science when the telescope gets going. Ken finished up, and he's given me a golf book, and it's something that I'm working on. In some sense, it's a bit of a problem to get a book like that, because it implies that you don't play golf very well. But that is the truth. And it's certainly something that I aim to do a lot more of in the future, in those few hours that I have over from all the other things that I'm allowed to do. I think I'm really looking forward to spending these next couple of years working in a university environment in a different, all these, since I actually arrived in Europe when I was 1976, I've been working for governmental organizations, never for a university. And it's a different challenge to work for a university. And I'm finding out a bit more about it. I don't know whether Steve Watts is in the audience or not. But Steve, yes, I'm enjoying the interactions. And for me personally, it's a nice way to move from what was a 7-day-a-week job down to something that's nominally less. And it hasn't yet got down below 5 days, but I'm working on it. So Ken said that I was allowed to take as long as I have. I've probably taken too long, but there was a lot of people who've spoken, and I thought it was, I'd like to say a few words to everyone. But to end up, I'd like to say words to all of you that it's just been overwhelming to have you all here. And in particular, I want to finish up by saying that I'm very happy to have my whole family here, wife and 2 kids, and they've been fantastic support all these years. They've actually had to put up with an enormous amount. You don't go traveling around and getting all these various projects going without being away from home a lot of time. And so that's been a burden on all of them. And the fact that they're all sitting here, and I think they're smiling, means that I'm probably forgiven. Let me finish there, and let's all drink a toast to all of us here and the community that we represent. So here's to all of us.
Program, and we're still expecting dessert and coffee.